A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel's been watching the browser agent space, and he's got a whole taxonomy forming in his head. He's looking at three different ways AI agents talk to browsers right now. The screenshot method, where the agent just watches pixels. The DevTools integration, where it hooks into the browser's internals through extensions. And Google's new thing, where they're baking MCP directly into Chrome itself. His question is about the mess. Right now, it's fragmented, everyone's trying different approaches, and he's got this aphorism he keeps coming back to. Technology tends toward consolidation. So what does that consolidation look like here? Does one standard serve both browsing and web development? And what's the trajectory that actually wins?
So let's map the battlefield. Three distinct approaches, and they're not just different implementations of the same idea. They're doing fundamentally different things.
Right. And the first one is the one that sounds most intuitive, which is also why it's the most limited.
The purely visual method. The agent takes screenshots. Sometimes it's grabbing frames from a video stream. Sometimes it's static captures, and it's analyzing pixels. It sees what a human sees. A button, a form field, a loading spinner, a blank section where content should be. And that's the appeal, right? It's browser agnostic. Doesn't matter if you're on Chrome or Firefox or some weird fork from 2017. Doesn't need special hooks, doesn't need extensions, doesn't need the browser to cooperate at all. It just needs a viewport.
It's the method that treats the browser like a black box with a screen, which is elegant in a certain light.
It is. And it's also debugging with one hand tied behind your back. Here's the thing. Daniel zeroed in on, and he's exactly right, the visual method can't intercept network requests. It can't see status codes. It can't see headers, request bodies, response timing, CORs failures. When a page breaks, the visual agent sees the symptom, the blank section, the spinner that never resolves, the error message that renders in the DOM. What it doesn't see is the cause, the 500 from the API, the malformed JSON response, the pre-flight request that got rejected because someone forgot to update the course policy.
It's like being a doctor who can see the patient is feverish but can't take a blood test.
And the network tab is where the truth lives for web debugging. I mean, anyone who's done web development knows this. You open DevTools, you go to the network tab, and that waterfall of requests is the story of what's actually happening. The status codes, the timing bars, the request and response payloads. A 404 on a critical JavaScript bundle. The visual agent sees a broken page. The network tab tells you exactly which file didn't load and why.
So the visual method is guessing at what the network did based on what rendered, which is a lot of guessing.
And it's not just guessing. It's systematically blind to a whole category of failures that never produce visible output at all. A course error doesn't render anything. It just fails. The request gets blocked at the browser level and the page sits there looking fine, except the data never arrives. The visual agent sees a page that looks complete, but is missing half its functionality and has no way to know why.
So that's method one. Method two is what most people using Claude for web development are actually experiencing right now.
The DevTools integration method. This is where a browser extension, or in some cases a custom browser build, exposes the internals to the agent. DOM snapshots, console logs, and crucially, network activity. The agent can read the console errors, see the network waterfall, inspect elements, and actually diagnose what's happening. This is the current state of the art for agent-assisted web development. Claude, with a browser integration, can watch your console output and say, hey, that API call returned a 401, your auth token probably expired, which is a thing a visual agent simply can't do.
And this is fragile how?
Extensions break. Browser updates change APIs. Every browser implements things slightly differently. You build an extension that works beautifully with Chrome version, whatever, and then Firefox updates and suddenly your DOM snapshot format is slightly different, or the console API changed, or the permissions model shifted. and you're maintaining this integration for every browser you want to support, which means you're essentially building and maintaining a piece of infrastructure that sits between the agent and the browser, and that infrastructure is always one browser update away from breaking.
So it works, but it's held together with tape.
It works, and it's the best thing we have right now, and it's also a maintenance nightmare. Which brings us to method 3.
Google baking MCP directly into Chrome.
This is the one that changes the calculus. Chrome DevTools now supports the Model Context Protocol natively. The browser itself speaks MCP, no extension layer, no custom build, no fragile middleware. The browser is a first-class participant in the agent's tool ecosystem.
And MCP. For anyone who hasn't been tracking this, Model Context Protocol. It's an open standard for how AI agents request and receive structured data from tools and services. It's not a Google proprietary thing. It's a protocol.
Right? Anthropic developed it originally, but it's open. And the significance of Google adopting it in Chrome isn't just, oh, another integration. It's a protocol-level commitment from the vendor who controls the dominant browser. That's a different category of thing entirely.
Let me push on that. Why does it being a protocol matter versus just being a really good integration?
Because a protocol standardizes the interface. When Chrome speaks MCP, any agent that speaks MCP can talk to it. You don't need a Claude-specific Chrome extension, and a separate GPT-specific Chrome extension, and a separate whatever agent-specific Chrome extension. You need one protocol, and any agent that implements the protocol gets structured access to browser state. The fragmentation Daniel's talking about, the mess of different methods. A protocol is the thing that resolves fragmentation. That's literally what protocols do.
HTTP didn't win because it was the best way to transfer hypertext. It won because it was the standard. And once it was the standard, everything else had to interoperate with it.
And we've seen this pattern repeatedly. JavaScript wasn't the best scripting language. It was famously designed in 10 days. But it was baked into every browser, and that distribution advantage meant everything else had to compile to it or interoperate with it. WebAssembly is the same story. Not necessarily the best bytecode format imaginable, but it's the one that got standardized and baked into every browser engine.
So the consolidation thesis is, MCP in Chrome is the first move toward the JavaScriptification of agent-browser interaction. The protocol gets baked into the platform, and the ecosystem consolidates around it.
That's the trajectory. But here's the wrinkle Daniel's asking about, does one standard serve both use cases? Browsing and web development are different things. When an agent is browsing, shopping, researching, filling out forms, it needs speed and visual fidelity. It needs to see what the user would see because the user's experience is the thing that matters. When an agent is doing web development, debugging, testing, iterating, it needs structured access to internals. It needs the network tab, the console, the DOM inspector.
And those feel like different needs.
They are. But MCP can serve both. The protocol is the same. The tools exposed differ. For browsing, you expose screenshot capture, element interaction, form filling. For development, you expose network monitoring, console access, DOM inspection. Same protocol, different tool sets. The protocol is the transport layer. What you transport depends on what you're doing.
So the consolidation isn't around one set of capabilities. It's around one way of requesting and receiving capabilities.
That's the key insight. Consolidation doesn't mean every agent gets the same tools. It means every agent uses the same protocol to ask for whatever tools it needs. The protocol is the standard. The tools are configurable.
Which means the purely visual method doesn't die. It just becomes the fallback.
Visual methods are the only approach that works when you don't have protocol access. You're operating across sites that don't expose MCP endpoints. You're dealing with legacy browsers. You're in a locked-down corporate environment where MCP is disabled by policy. You're scraping a site that doesn't want to be scraped. In all those cases, the visual method is what you've got. It's not the future, but it's the universal fallback. And universal fallbacks don't disappear. They just get relegated to the cases where nothing better is available.
So the hierarchy is MCP native as the primary path for anything running in a modern browser, visual methods as the universal fallback, and the extension-based integrations as
the transitional bridge. They're what we use now because MCP native isn't widespread yet. But once Chrome ships this broadly, and especially if other browsers follow, And they'll have to, because otherwise, they're the browser that doesn't speak the agent protocol. The extension layer becomes redundant. Why maintain a fragile extension when the browser natively speaks the protocol the extension was translating to?
The extension developers might have feelings about that.
I'm sure they will, but this is how platforms evolve. The platform absorbs the functionality that was previously provided by third-party middleware, and the middleware either moves up the stack or disappears. We saw this with operating systems absorbing TCP/IP stacks, with browsers absorbing Flash, with smartphones absorbing GPS apps. The platform eats the layer below it.
There's something deeper here, too. When the browser speaks MCP natively, the browser stops being a passive tool and becomes an active participant in the agent's reasoning loop.
Say more about that.
Right now, the browser is a rendering engine. You give it HTML and it paints pixels. The agent has to observe those pixels or hook into internals through extensions. But the browser itself isn't answering questions. It's just doing its job. With MCP baked in, the browser is answering questions about itself. What's in the DOM right now? What network requests are in flight? What console errors have fired? The browser isn't just rendering, it's reporting. It's a participant in the diagnostic conversation, not just the subject of it.
That's a fundamental shift in what a browser is. The browser goes from being a display surface to being an instrumented environment. It's the difference between looking at a patient and having the patient describe their symptoms.
And once you've got an instrumented environment that speaks a standard protocol, the next question is what else gets instrumented? Does the operating system start speaking MCP? Does the code editor? Does the terminal?
That's where this gets big. MCP is designed to be a general-purpose agent tool protocol. Chrome adopting it's significant, partly because Chrome is huge and partly because it validates the protocol, but the protocol itself isn't browser-specific. If your terminal emulator speaks MCP, your agent can run commands and read output in a structured way. If your IDE speaks MCP, your agent can read your codebase and run tests. The browser is the most visible first step, but it's not the only step.
So Daniel's consolidation aphorism might apply at a level above what he's asking about. Not just consolidation around a standard way for agents to interact with browsers, but consolidation around a standard way for agents to interact with tools, period.
And the browser happens to be the most important tool because it's where everything runs now. But the protocol is the consolidation point, not the browser. The browser is just the first major platform to adopt it natively.
Let me play out a counter-pressure here. You mentioned legacy browsers and lockdown environments as cases where visual methods persist, but there's another one, adversarial contexts.
What do you mean?
If you're building an agent that needs to interact with a site that actively doesn't want to be interacted with by agents, think ticket scalping, or competitive intelligence, or any kind of scraping where the target site is deploying countermeasures. The visual method is actually harder to detect than a protocol-level integration. A visual agent looks like a browser from the server's perspective. It's making real HTTP requests, rendering real pages, clicking real buttons. An MCP-native agent is, well, it depends on how it's implemented. But if the browser is reporting structured state back to an agent, that's potentially a detectable pattern.
That's a fair point. The visual method has a stealth advantage in adversarial contexts, but I think that's a niche. The vast majority of agent-browser interaction is going to be cooperative. You want the agent to interact with your own development environment, or you want it to browse sites that are perfectly happy to serve content to whoever requests it. The adversarial case is real, but it's not the mainstream.
Fair. So let me try to synthesize the trajectory. Near term, the next year or two, we're in the messy transitional phase. Extensions are the primary method because they work now. MCP native is rolling out in Chrome, and visual methods are the fallback for everything else. Medium term, see 3 to 5 years, MCP native becomes the default for modern browsers, extensions fade out as the platform absorbs their functionality, and visual methods persist as the universal fallback for edge cases. Long term, the protocol, not the browser, is the consolidation point. MCP or something like it becomes the standard interface between agents and tools across the board, and the browser is just one tool among many that speaks it.
I think that's exactly right. And the thing that makes me confident about the MCP trajectory specifically is that it's not just Google. Anthropic developed the protocol, and they're not a browser vendor, they're an AI company. The protocol was designed from the agent's perspective, not from the browser's perspective. That means it's likely to be a good fit for what agents actually need, rather than being a browser API that got retrofitted for agent use.
Which is what the extension-based integrations are. Browser APIs retrofitted for agent use.
Retrofits always have rough edges. The extension APIs were designed for human developers using DevTools, not for AI agents requesting structured state. MCP was designed from the ground up for agent-tool interaction. The fact that it's now getting baked into the browser is the best of both worlds, an agent-native protocol meeting a platform with massive distribution.
There's a question I want to put on the table that Daniel didn't explicitly ask, but I think is lurking under his consolidation question. What does this do to the web development workflow?
In what sense?
Right now, web development involves a human looking at a browser, opening DevTools, reading the console, checking the network tab, inspecting elements. The human is in the loop for debugging. When the browser speaks MCP natively, and agents can do all of that programmatically, does the human developer's relationship to the browser change?
I think it changes in the same way that compilers change the human developer's relationship to machine code. You still need to understand what's happening, but you don't need to do it manually. The agent becomes a layer of abstraction. You say the checkout flow is broken, and the agent inspects the network requests, finds the failing API call, checks the response body, and tells you the payment's endpoint is returning a validation error because the address field is missing a postal code. That's a 5-minute debugging session compressed into 10 seconds.
The developer still needs to understand the system well enough to act on that information. The agent isn't replacing understanding. It's accelerating diagnosis.
Right. The same way a good IDE doesn't replace understanding the language, it just makes you faster at writing and navigating code. The agent is a force multiplier for the developer's existing knowledge, not a replacement for it.
I want to circle back to something you said earlier about the platform eating the layer below it. The extension developers who currently build agent browser integrations, are they doomed, or do they move up the stack?
They move up the stack. When the browser absorbs the protocol layer, the value moves to the agent side, building better reasoning, better debugging strategies, better integration with development workflows. The extension isn't the product anymore. The agent's ability to use the protocol effectively is the product. The same people who are building browser extensions today will be building agent capabilities tomorrow. The skills transfer, the platform just shifts.
The consolidation Daniel's predicting doesn't destroy the ecosystem. It reorganizes it around a standard interface.
That's what standards do. They don't eliminate innovation, they move innovation to the layer above the standard. HTTP didn't kill the web, it enabled everything built on top of it. MCP in the browser doesn't kill agent browser innovation. It standardizes the plumbing so everyone can innovate on the interesting stuff.
1998. I was a QA tester for a browser called CyberDog.
I'm sorry. CyberDog?
Netscape spinoff. Lasted about 14 months. My entire job was clicking through pages and logging what broke. I'd get a build in the morning, work through a test plan that was basically a 3-ring binder full of URLs, and for each page, I'd write down what rendered wrong. Missing images, broken layouts, JavaScript errors that popped up an alert and froze the whole thing. I was the original visual agent. A human screenshot machine with a clipboard.
You were doing exactly what the screenshot method does now.
That's what I'm saying. I've been listening to this whole thing, and what strikes me is that the visual method's limitation, not seeing network requests. That was exactly my limitation. I'd log a broken page, describe what I saw, and the developers would come back and say, "Did you check the network tab?" And I'd say, "What network tab?" This was before DevTools were a thing anyone had. I had to learn to read the request logs by hand. They were text files on the server side and cross-referenced them with what I was seeing in the browser. It was miserable. Took twice as long and I still missed things.
The visual method isn't just technically limited, it's historically limited. It's the way humans did it before we had better tools.
We built better tools for a reason. The network tab, the console, the element inspector, those didn't get invented because developers were bored. They got invented because debugging without them is guessing. The visual method is guessing. It's educated guessing, sometimes, but it's guessing.
What MCP does is give the agent access to the tools we built for exactly this reason.
Right. You're not inventing a new way to debug. You're giving the agent access to the same debugging tools humans use through a structured interface. That's the right approach. I spent a year being the proof that the visual approach isn't good enough.
Do you still have the binder?
The CyberDog QA manual? Yeah, it's in a box somewhere. 3-ring binder, hand-drawn diagrams of what a broken page looks like. Little annotations in the margins. Spinner never resolves. Possible race condition. Layout breaks below 800 pixels. The mascot was a cartoon dog wearing a propeller beanie. No idea why.
A propeller beanie.
It was the 90s.
I want to see those diagrams.
I'll bring it in. Some of the diagrams are actually useful. There's one about how to recognize a chorus failure from visual symptoms alone, which I had to figure out by trial and error because nobody had named chorus yet. We just called it the thing where the page looks fine, but nothing loads.
That's remarkable. You were reverse engineering network diagnostics from visual symptoms because the tools didn't exist.
Now we're building AI agents that do the same thing, except we're also giving them the tools I didn't have. Which is progress, I guess. The visual method is the fallback, like you said. It's what you use when you've got nothing else. But we should be building toward the thing where agents don't need the fallback, because the protocol is everywhere.
The binder is the visual method's origin story.
The binder is a warning. Don't make the agents debug like I had to debug. It's not efficient, and it makes you hate your job.
If you take one thing from this, it's the hierarchy. Not consolidation in the sense of one method wiping out the others, but a clear stack. MCP native as the primary path, visual methods as the universal fallback, and extensions as the bridge we're currently walking across. The consolidation is around the protocol, not the method.
The protocol is bigger than the browser. That's the thing that sticks with me. We're watching the browser become the first major platform to adopt MCP natively. But the real story is what happens when every tool speaks the same language. The browser is Act 1.
The open question is how fast this moves. Chrome shipping MCP support is one thing. Every other browser following suit, every tool adopting the protocol, the extension ecosystem reorganizing around the new standard. That's a multi-year process. And the thing to watch is whether MCP becomes the de facto standard before something else does. First mover advantage matters, but it's not a guarantee.
Daniel's aphorism is right. Technology tends toward consolidation. The only question is whether it consolidates around the browser or around the protocol. And I think the answer is both, in sequence. First the browser, then the protocol. The browser is the distribution mechanism. The protocol is the lasting standard.
Thanks to Hilbert Flemingtop for producing, and for the 3-ring binder we're all now extremely curious about.
This has been My Weird Prompts. If you want to send us your own questions about where technology is consolidating, email the show at show@myweirdprompts.com.
We'll be back soon.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth's slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.